This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
What's the statistic that you measure a quarterback by? 877-881-1053. How do you decide what is the best quarterback in the NFL? Bill Barnwell for ESPN.com. He has some stuff up that's going to help us figure out who the best are all time, Kevin.
All time.
And where is Dak? Is he in the top 25? That's always the question, Kevin.
Okay.
I did love when Jerry Jones was talking about, you know, how he decides to pay a quarterback this morning, because the thing that stands out for him is, will this guy help me win the game? Will he help me? Will he be the guy that can be the difference whenever it comes down to making the play that gives you the victory in a game? And so when it comes to what Jerry Jones' decision there is, I mean, you've seen it. Tony Romo was back and forth on if he was the difference between winning a game and losing. Troy Aikman, he made the decisions that really did. Whenever he needed to make the throw, he delivered.
So, spoiler alert, Dak Prescott is not on the top 10 list. I'm sorry.
Yet.
That's fair. Well, hopefully he'll never be on this list, because it's the top 10 quarterbacks to never get to a Super Bowl. So hopefully he's never on this list.
So Tony Romo's number one?
Okay, so that was my question. Do you think Tony Romo is on the list? And if so, where does he rank?
Go, Tony Romo.
Oh, man, I'm going to try and think about all, because there are tons of quarterbacks that never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and number 10 is really underwhelming, and I need to go back and do my own research to replace him, because you take a giant leap from number 10 to number 9.
I'll say Romo's in the...
Number 9, Romo?
I think he's 15.
So not in the top 10?
I don't think he's in the top 10.
Wow. Okay, you're going to rethink that when I tell you number 10 is Jeff Blake.
Whoa.
All right, I'm going to say that Romo is number 2.
If Jeff Blake is number 10, Romo should be like negative 18, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's how further up on the list. But then we take a really big jump. Number 9 is Randall Cunningham. Now, Randall Cunningham is somebody that I respect as an excellent throughout his career quarterback. I don't necessarily feel the same way about Jeff Blake. And Randall Cunningham really should have been in the Super Bowl in 1998 with that Vikings team. That team was a monster.
Yeah, and by the way, that team was a monster.
Because
they could throw the ball all over the field, and they had Robert Smith, their running back position, too.
And because that was Randy Moss going wild. Remember, that looked like it was going to be that matchup against the Broncos, where you legit felt like unquestionably this best team all year against this best team all year. Instead, we got the bootleg Atlanta Falcons, and then there was all that wackiness before the Super Bowl.
By the way, Randall Cunningham's daughter, Vashita Cunningham, Vashti Cunningham, is an American track and field athlete who specializes in the high jump.
Oh.
So she, that athleticism, man, she's got it.
Very nice. From the 214, I bet Romo's third. Also third from the 210. From the another 214, maybe around 4 or so, I bet he's maybe 4 or 5. And then somebody said, obviously, he needs to be number 1. So I would say some of you will be disappointed. Jay Cutler is number 8. Jeff Garcia is number 7. Do you think of Jeff Garcia as a consistently good quarterback that would be on this list?
Yeah. I know he, like, it just always seemed that every team that Jeff Garcia went to was, like, he made them better than they should have been. And I don't know if it was just his energy. I was told by maybe a receiver that played with him that he wasn't the greatest leader. I do feel like he just had a quality about him and a toughness to deliver tight throws that made them a little bit better. But I never thought of him as a Super Bowl champion quarterback, obviously because he never did it. But back, maybe it was the undersized part too. He just looked smaller. He didn't look like the big-time prototype quarterback. And so I never thought of him as an elite quarterback anyway.
Number 6 on the list, quarterbacks to never make it to the Super Bowl, Jim Everett. Now, Jim Everett is one of my favorite human beings for punching that moron Jim Rome in the face or threatening to knock him down if he called him Chris one more time, and that's what he did, and so he took him down. And so I will always, always have admiration for Jim Everett. He is number 6 on the list. Number 5 on the list, I can't say I'm super familiar with this quarterback, Jim Hart.
Who's Jim Hart? I don't think I remember Jim Hart either.
Jim Hart played for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, that was way before my time, Kevin. He was in the 70s.
That's true. He made the Pro Bowl 4 consecutive times. His team was 38-18, and he posted 3 10-win seasons in a row. Now, a couple of names that you will
what
not hear.
What about Jake Plummer?
Jake Plummer did not make the list. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Did he ever win a Super Bowl?
Also not making the list, Alex Smith. And somebody that I would have put on the list ahead of Jeff Blake, Bernie Kosar.
Nice.
Yeah, I think people forget how freaking awesome those 80s Browns teams were. Now we get to number 4, the best quarterbacks of all time that never made it to the Super Bowl. Not Steve Pelleur, but this is a great one. Danny White from the 972. Was he in the Super Bowl as a backup then? Is that why he's not eligible?
Probably so.
Because Danny White got to 3 consecutive conference championship games, and I think that's really unfortunate. Yeah, they won the Super Bowl with him at Super Bowl 12. Now, I know he wasn't the starting quarterback for that time, but I guess that's what disqualifies him from the list. But since he, I guess, you know, didn't make it as a starter, I think he should be eligible. A couple more votes for Danny White. So, yeah, that's not fair. But instead at number 4, you get Tony Romo. Obviously, the closest trip to the Super Bowl for Romo, 2014. That would be
Dez caught it.
Infamous Dez caught it game.
Man, hold on. Let me ask you this question. Was that team better than the team that lost to the Vikings?
Yes. Because that team got the 09 team. That team got annihilated by the Vikings.
I understand
so
they got annihilated by the Vikings. Wasn't that team defensively better than the Cowboys of 2014?
Yeah, but I think the Cowboys defense was like acceptable enough.
What about the season they lost to the Giants? When the Cowboys
07?
Yeah, when the Cowboys came out and they had a really talented team.
That was your best Cowboys team, I think.
And Tony Romo, you know, was good, and they decided to just abandon the run. They changed their whole game plan, and then Patrick Creighton drops it in the end zone. So yeah. Dez caught it and Patrick dropped it.
It's really interesting to think about if Patrick Creighton had caught the ball, or if Romo would have held the snap, or if the referees would not have been blind and would have ruled that Dez caught it. It would have been really interesting how much different Romo's legacy would be and his opportunity to make the Hall of Fame. As of now, I think he has no opportunity to make the Hall of Fame.
Him in his broadcasting career shouldn't affect that. It's not affecting it for Jimmy.
I guess it could as a contributor, yes. But that would be like way down. That's fascinating.
The contributions to what they do outside doesn't affect what they did on the field. That's what I've been told. And I love him as much as the next guy. I love Romo too. I think a lot of people agreed that it was time to move on because Dak was the future. And if Romo wanted to be around for another opportunity, maybe it would have been great, but he didn't. I mean, he left. He made the decision to move on, and it's turned out great for him.
Sure.
I mean, it's turned out to be one of those opportunities that really has worked out, but I just don't think that, you know, I think everybody understood at the time that this was the right move. And somebody said Steve DeBerg. I'm trying to find Steve DeBerg on the Super Bowl list. I don't think that his team's ever made it either, Kevin. So,
all right.
Hold on.
Oh.
He was the oldest player on a Super Bowl roster.
Wow.
When the Falcons appeared in Super Bowl XXX3 XIII. So that's like 33. He was 45 years old in 12 days. So he was on a Super Bowl roster, guys. Sorry about Steve DeBerg.
So number 3. So these are somebody said Donovan McNabb. Remember, these are the players to not make it to the quarterbacks, not to make it to the Super Bowl. McNabb did. This is the most famous example, I think, is Dan Fouts. So Dan Fouts did not make it to the Super Bowl. However, he did lead the league in passing multiple years. And some people would dub it the quarterback championship belt when you lead in like certain categories as a combination. So that's why Dan Fouts is in the Hall of Fame as opposed to Romo. Number two is Warren Moon. Now, we all know Warren Moon. Do you?
Yeah, I do. I actually prefer Warren Moon over the guy that's going to be number one.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
All right. Let me take a look at some overarching Warren Moon statistics to see how that all shakes out. But I remember Warren Moon being a player that I feared. All right. He was the NFL Man of the Year 1989. That doesn't count for anything. In terms of the Hall of Fame, 1990 passing touchdowns leader. Yards leader in 90 and 91, the MVP in 90, so first team All-Pro in 90, and he was a 9-time Pro Bowler. Compare that to the resume of the man who is number one on the list. That would be Philip Rivers. So Philip Rivers is the best quarterback ever to not make it to a Super Bowl. And I've always called Philip Rivers Romo West, but Philip Rivers is unquestionably better than Tony Romo. I know that's probably going to hurt some people's feelings, but
it really does become people get in a big hissy fit about it because, you know, you look at his stats and you look at what he has been able to accomplish, but his stats kind of lay out that Rivers has been far more relied upon as the leader of his team than Romo was. Romo had it in him, but he really didn't blossom into what he was until late in his career. I know Romo was just this exciting quarterback for a long time, but he really turned into a different quarterback when he started relying on the run game.
So Tony Romo made the Pro Bowl 4 times. Philip Rivers made the Pro Bowl 8 times, was an NFL passing yard leader in 2010, touchdown leader in 08, rating leader in 08, completion percentage leader in 13. Like, overwhelmingly, it is Philip Rivers that has the statistical advantage over Tony Romo. That's why Philip Rivers is number one. Tony Romo, number four. Coming up next, this time I promise, probably, we will talk with Chris Collinsworth. He's got the call on NBC Sunday Night Football. Cowboys, Vikings, Collinsworth. We'll do it next on The Fan.
That wasn't a doink. That was a dong.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
My first year in the league, I was really one of those, golly, gee whiz, everybody likes me. This is such a great thing. We're in the Super Bowl, and it was an amazing year. And I got a lot of the credit for the big turnaround of that 81 team, which was totally undeserved. I mean, this was a team that was developing, and I happened
be in the right place at the right time.
His rookie success was no accident. It took him just 7 seasons to catch 400 passes, a statistic that matches up favorably with any receiver who has ever played the game.
Got plenty of time. Down the middle, Collinsworth at the 25. It'll be a touchdown.
His skills and personality have made Chris Collinsworth a local hero. He is king of the Queen City and truly a receiver with the gift of grab.
There it is. And if that doesn't bring back some memories, Chris Collinsworth, I don't know what can. Welcome to the Masterpiece. How's it going?
I'm good. Kevin, Corey, how are you guys?
Doing very well today. Now, I want to establish some credibility with our audience. All right. I want to just go ahead and lay something out there real quick. You are from Titusville, Florida, right?
Correct.
And you went to Astronaut High School, correct?
Titusville Astronaut High School, the Fighting War Eagles, yes.
And that place is a hub of athletic talent. You were a four-star athlete there, four-sports athlete. How many talented names have come out of your high school?
Well, Wilbur Marshall, probably the most talented. There was another defensive back that played for the Lions for a while that came out of there as well. So, yeah, there's been some good ones.
I got a little list here. LaRon Robinson, Kelly Slater, Tim Wakefield, Bruce Bochy, Prince Fielder, and Doug Flutie to add to that as well.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Doug Flutie didn't go there. I like it, though. Just fire it out there. Yeah. That was good. That was as funny as the opening bit there. When it said 400 catches makes him in a category with all the best that's ever played the game. Now you're a third string nickel kind of wide receiver with 400 catches.
Now, speaking of funny, I don't know if you have seen all of the social media excitement about this, but when you ease your way into that opening shot on Sunday Night Football, what kind of skill level does it take to do that just subtly right?
It is perhaps the dumbest story of all time. You know how this happens, right? So Al Michaels does the opening by himself. Long before I ever came into the scene, Al Michaels did the opening by himself. And so they would give me a piece of tape on where I'm supposed to sit, you know, overlooking the field there. And they say, all right, put your legs, wrap around that piece of tape. So I said, okay. So I'm sitting there. And Al's in there getting ready to do the shot. And Drew Esikoff, our director, sits down there and he goes, Chris, you're in the shot. Get out of the shot. And I go, well, do you want me to sit around this piece of tape or do you want me out of the shot? What do you want me to do? He said, well, just lean out of the shot. And I'm like, okay. So I lean out of the shot and he goes, Chris, you're still in the shot. You got to get out of the shot. And I'm like, okay. So I'm literally lying on my elbow, on my left elbow, as Al's doing this opening on camera bit. And then he says, Chris, you know, blah, 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 whatever he says. And then because my butt is still wrapped around this piece of tape and I'm in my slot. So then I slide in, right? So I never thought anything of it. And I didn't know any of the stuff that was going on. I had no idea. And then one day somebody showed me something and somebody had taken a scene from a bar, I assume during a World Cup game. And there were literally 5,000 people in this bar and there was a huge television screen. And I assume a goal had just been scored because the crowd went absolutely berserk. Everybody's jumping up and down and screaming. And somebody superimposed my slide in to the shot into this thing and people start jumping up and down and going crazy. And I didn't know what it was. I'm not that social media savvy. And I was like, what just happened? And from there, it just went crazy. It's like everywhere I go, people want me to slide in. They want me to do. And that's my life now, the slide in.
Man, what a wonderful story about something that's become an internet sensation. And we absolutely love it. When you watch these quarterbacks play, when you watch Dak and Kirk Cousins, what do you see that are differences in their game and differences in how their teammates respond to them?
That's an interesting question. Dak is sort of a natural, young, dynamic leader. You know, he is. He's a guy that was born here. You know, he was created here. He was his rookie year, you know, stole the national spotlight here. So he came in, and he is from the beginning been that A guy, you know, one of the guys, he's one of us. He's one of those. Mobile, good thrower, greatly improving player, in my opinion. He's a much better player today than he was 4 years ago. Cousins on the other side is a guy who was bought, and he was bought from other teams. He wasn't a first overall draft pick like Dak. He was in the fourth round, and he came in at one time and had the first guaranteed contract of all time, right? $27 million, yeah. Whatever the case may be, over 3 years. And people lost their minds. It was like, you know, whatever. So now the expectations for him were literally through the roof. But if you look at the numbers for Kirk Cousins today, and remember, he's coming off of being Player of the Month in October, where he was phenomenal. You know, Kirk Cousins is ranked somewhere second, third, so in most of the general categories. And yet there's this feeling that he's a terrible player. You know, that we can't wait to get rid of Kirk Cousins. But the numbers would say, you know, maybe Russell Wilson is ahead of him. But that's maybe it, you know, as you just look at the numbers so far this season. And the $27 million, let's face it, isn't that big a number right now. I mean, we're going to be looking at quarterbacks. I'm going to guess Dak is going to be in the $35 to $45 million range. I'm going to guess that we're going to see quarterbacks in the very near future, like Patrick Mahomes, who may be in the $50 to $60 million range.
Wow.
So the $27 million, I don't think is anything to be concerned about. And yet there's still that thing that he can't win, especially on the road against a good team, against a winning team. And that is sort of haunting him. And to some extent, it's haunting the Dallas Cowboys as well. You know, they really need to prove that they can get over the hump in the playoffs and go on and, you know, be something special in the playoffs and win another Super Bowl. That's where they are. So, you know, there's both checks and balances on each, but I can't imagine that Dallas fans aren't going to be really happy when Dak signs that long-term contract. Whereas I don't know that Vikings fans still feel that same way about Cousins, despite the numbers he's put up.
Do you envision this as kind of a pivot game for both teams where, you know, perhaps the winner, we were just talking about, like, what will they go on and do and breaking some of these narratives, where the winner goes on and they get hot going into the playoffs, where the loser could start to see themselves fade away from the playoff race?
I really, in my mind, I think it's a bigger game for the Cowboys. A road game for any team against a winning team for Minnesota would be, you know, is still, you hope to get those wins, but you're not sure. You look at the Cowboys' schedule the rest of the way, compare it to the Philadelphia Eagles' schedule, and you start going, that's tough. You know, they've got really tough ones, and the Eagles have not so tough ones. Now, not the next couple, but as you go down the last four or five games of the season. So this is going to be an interesting run. And when you're playing at home against a team that has struggled to win on the road against quality opponents, this is one the Cowboys need to put away, I think, because the wild card is going to be very tough in the NFC. Unlike the AFC, the NFC may take a minimum of 10, maybe 11 wins to get into the wild card position. So if the Eagles go on a great run and the Cowboys struggle with that tougher schedule, that's the reason I think it's a bigger game for the Cowboys.
Cowboys fans around here, this is Chris Collinsworth joining us on the KNC Masterpiece, have been kind of in awe and maybe didn't realize what we were getting with Amari Cooper. And as a former wide receiver yourself, can you just kind of give us a scouting report on why he is such a good route runner and why he's doing what he's doing in the league?
Well, I thought from the beginning the flaw with the Cowboys and the flaw with Dak was that if you gave him an open receiver, you go back to our Pro Football Focus numbers that I'm involved with, if he has an open player, he's going to hit him. He's an incredibly accurate guy with hitting open receivers. The problem was when for a few years there, they didn't have a lot of open receivers. And so then in comes Amari, and Amari has this release move. He has these in and out, these sort of gliding cuts and ability to separate And when Dak has receivers that are separating as opposed to 50-50 balls and, you know, Y option routes where it's all timing stuff and all the different things that you learn over time as a quarterback, then it's a different story. But I think Amari, you know, I know the great debate was around here with, you know, which of these three guys you're going to pay first and what are you going to do and whatever. Amari, I was sold from the beginning. I knew what he was worth to this franchise. I thought he would have been probably first on my list of, because he and Dak were really up before Ezekiel was, and then probably the quarterback and then probably the running back after that. So I think he is the single difference maker for Dak Prescott. And the reason that we're now talking about him as being an elite quarterback is because he's got a guy who separates and gets open now.
Last thing for you. How much do you and how much do the NBC overlords like having the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football?
Well, we all like to get paid and make money, right? And the Cowboys are money. If you're involved in the television industry, I can't always explain it. I don't fully understand why a team from Dallas is any more popular than a team from anywhere else. But this brand, that star, Jerry Jones, the history of this organization that goes back generations, whatever it is, that it is one people want to see it. And I think that Jerry has found a way to make this the most interesting franchise year after year, regardless of who's playing, regardless of who's coaching. The stadium is a show unto itself. And much like the New York Yankees, whether you're cheering for them or you're cheering against them, you're cheering somehow or another for or against the Dallas Cowboys, and it makes great television. It has from the beginning. Any television executive would tell you, if they had their chance, they would do the Dallas Cowboys all 16 games because of the difference in the ratings with the Cowboys and everybody else.
Thank you so much, Chris. That's kind of what I was hoping you would say. We appreciate it. We look forward to the call Sunday night.
Kevin, Corey, good talking to you guys.
Thank you, sir. And Kevin, I just wanted to go back real quick. All those guys didn't go to Astronaut High School. They were all from the same county. That's my bad on what I read earlier. They were all from Brevard County. But
we can confirm that Astronaut High School is a thing. We did. That's amazing.
They basically become space students is what they're doing.
Wouldn't you think like Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin and all those people are the ones who went to Astronaut High School?
Or maybe they're the ones that started Astronaut High School. Whoa. Maybe that's a possibility too.
Is that true?
I love the stuff that he said about Kirk Cousins, Kevin, because he basically backed up everything I've said about Kirk Cousins the way. Yeah, pretty much everything I've said.
Did he pretty much say that Kirk Cousins is good and the haters should be quiet?
He said there's 2 weeks of showing that Kirk Cousins has been okay. The rest of his career has been pretty atrocious.
We might need to review that audio again. I'm not sure if I took exactly the same thing away from that as you did.
Maybe 3 weeks. I'm not sure.
But he was the player of the month.
Oh, okay. So 3 weeks of good play. That's great. Did they have a bye week mixed in there too? I don't know. Who knows? Nobody knows.
Good night.
All right, let's go. Let's go back to, you know what? Let's talk to Mickey Spagnola right now. Brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. Mickey, how you doing today, man?
I'm good.
Mickey, is there?
You just pushed me out the door, didn't you?
Yeah. Basically, because Chris Collinsworth stormed in and kicked the door open and said he was taking over.
Well, I just kicked him out now.
Okay, who are you going to line up directly after you so we can just have an unending string of guests at the Star and never go to break?
That's Douglas?
Okay, sure. Let's make it happen. So I was curious, what's your defensive key to the game? Maybe it's a particular area or it's a particular player, because we were kicking around that earlier in the show. Do you have one in particular?
For the Cowboys?
For the Cowboys, yes.
Well, they've got to stop the run. And if you look at when they've had trouble with some of these teams that are very good, they've been run on. I mean, go back to last year, and I don't have to remind you of the Rams game, right?
Yeah.
Playoff game. So now you're facing the leading rusher in the NFL. He's second in touchdowns, rushing touchdowns, and only by one. So they've got to be able to shut down the run. And I know they did against Saquon Barkley, but that was the Giants offensive line. This is a true running attack. And they've got to be able to deal with that, because if you can't deal with the run, then you can't deal with Kirk Cousins. If you deal with the run, you got a better chance to hold Cousins down. And I know everybody's got all their numbers about him, but all I know is he's the fourth-ranked quarterback in the league right now. So you better handle Dalvin Cook first and foremost in this game.
I think we just saw that Adam Schefter says that Thielen has officially been ruled out for Sunday night's game. Does that change their game plan in the secondary at all, or can they focus more on kind of the blitz?
Oh, I don't know. I think it makes them focus more on the run now. I mean, Thielen was the kind of their, you know, I figured out he didn't have that many catches. I think it was 27, if I remember, but he's got 6 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So it was almost like a touchdown per every 4.5 catches. He was significant to what they do offensively. I kind of compared him to what Cooper Kupp was to the Rams last year when they lost him. They struggled some on offense, but then they end up running the ball against the Cowboys, right? So I don't know that, all of a sudden, okay, now you got to worry about Stephon Diggs and you can concentrate on him. They'll play their defense the way they normally play it. It's just one less target that you have to worry about, and he would be a guy that you needed to worry about.
It might not be as applicable to the Cowboys because it feels like everything they do is always the most important thing in the NFL, but do you ever get a vibe for these, you know, national primetime games that the players are more amped up or the stadium's more amped up or anything along those lines?
I think the stadium might get more amped up just because it's something out of the ordinary, and I think that goes for the players too. They'll never admit it. It's like, oh, well, yeah. But when they know everybody's watching and you're the only show on TV at that time, yeah, I think there's a sense of importance when you play those games. And I think that's been going on for years after years after years. I mean, that's why everybody used to get all fired up about Monday Night Football. Or they used to get, and still probably do, but used to get fired up playing on Thanksgiving because, you know, it was the only show going on at that time. The whole country's watching, right? So, yeah, I think they get a little bit more fired up for it. But, again, and that's initially. And then once the game starts, I think everything settles down and then it just becomes a game.
We got predictions all across the board this weekend. What are you feeling Sunday night? Cowboys, Vikings, where are you going?
Well, I just told our guys this morning that this is sort of in honor of Tony Dorsett's 99-yard run against the Vikings, January 3rd, 1983. Yeah. So the Cowboys ended up losing that game, 31-27. So we're going to reverse that. And they're going to win the game 31-27. How about that?
I love it. Quite frankly, any way that the Cowboys win this game, I'll probably be fine.
17-15 probably be okay, too, the way they beat them in 2016, right?
Absolutely. I'll take any win in this game. Thank you so much, Mickey.
Okay, sure thing.
Mickey Spagnola, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You've heard from all of our experts. You've heard from us. Now it is your turn. 877-881-1053. We're taking calls. Is this a must-win game for the Cowboys? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece, 877-881-1053. Go ahead and get after it on the phones. You can text in if you'd like to as well, but get on the phone. This is your chance to be a star in front of all of your friends on radio and say, hey, I was on the KNC Masterpiece. We are pre-gaming for the G-Bag Nation. Yeah, the G-Bag Nation is going to be coming up at 2 o'clock today. You're looking forward to it. We are, too. That's what we do here on the Fan. We tolo all day long, Kevin and I. We get Sean and RJ on our drive in the morning. Then we get to jump on with those guys together.
Nice.
And I always think that's a lot of fun. 877-881-1053. Go ahead and call in. Is this a must-win game? Now, I don't think it is. I don't think this is a must-win game. I'll give my opinion on why in just a little bit. But, Kevin, do you think it's a must-win game? I mean, it's too early in the season, isn't it?
It depends. I guess I'd have to say no by the strictest definition. because you could lose this game and still be in the playoff mix with the advantage that you had over the Eagles, at least winning the first one. But
what's the loosest definition then?
The loosest definition is if you lose this game, you're never going to hear the end of the narrative, regardless of what you do from here, unless you beat the Patriots, that the Cowboys can't beat a good team.
We win the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, but I don't want to wait that long to listen to these idiots talk, because then, like, the Lions aren't any good. If you lose to the Patriots, the Bills, they're going to say they're no good. The Bears are no good. The Eagles, you already beat them. Like, you're just going to hear this nonsense all year.
All right, well, let's hit the phones, 877-881-1053. Let's go to Dwayne in Dallas. You're on DFW Sports Station, home of the Cowboys. Dwayne, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a must-win game. And the only reason I think so is because we lost against the Saints. We lost against Packers, and we lost against the Jets. And so us losing to all three of those teams, and then those we should have won, I feel. And thinking that we should have won those games, no telling how many other games there's going to be where we fall into the same slumps that the Cowboys always do, where they just, you know, they win the games that they're not, I guess the ones that they're not supposed to, and the ones that they are, you know, we end up losing. So.
There it is. He says it is a must-win game, mostly because you lost to the Jets, Kevin.
Yeah.
I really think that's what his driving point was, is you lost to the Jets.
Because if you were 6-2 right now and you had a game and a half lead, then I could totally see it being a different deal.
All right. Let's go to Dallas in Tampa, Florida.
What?
Do you think that this is a must-win game?
I do, but to kind of play on the first guy's point, I think it would help them just from the mental standpoint, because shutting down arguably the best two of the best running backs in the league 2 weeks in a row would prove to, one, their defense can do what it's supposed to do, and that you can beat the teams you're supposed to beat, because honestly, they should beat the Vikings without an issue.
Well, there you go, Kevin. By definition, he doesn't think it's a must-win game.
I mean, but
by the simple fact that you're a team that just kind of got toasted by the Jets. And, you know, I don't believe – I think the Packers and Saints game were easily winnable games. I really do.
I disagree about the Packers
game. I think the Packers game should have been a better game. This team shoots itself in the foot, and they did it multiple times early in that game. I feel like if they'd come out – loose the way that they are, the way that they typically can play, because I think you saw it late in the game. They just, it's one of those times where they screwed up early and then they ran out of time late. You hear coaches say that sometimes, there just wasn't enough time. We ran out of time, and it makes no sense. But because of what they did early, they weren't able to execute at the end of the game what they wanted to execute. And that's why I think they lost that Packers game. So I think they could have won that game too. I really do think that this team could be sitting here with an undefeated record if they played different games. What did they do against the Saints that made you say that was the team you saw earlier in the year?
Yeah,
nothing.
No, the Saints and the Jets, I get that. You just got straight smoked by the Packers. From the 4-6-9, this is a must-win, prove-it game. The Cowboys have beat zero good teams. They've all been mediocre. Mediocre is probably nice, too.
But must-win? Kevin, I think this is a you would like to win. I think this is more than anything, it's a you would like to win, because must win for me just means elimination.
By the definition, I guess it does not meet must win, but I think if you lose this game, it starts the cycle of a season that doesn't end in the playoffs.
Interesting. Because it's an NFC opponent?
No, because it's like the first outside of the Eagles. It's another one of the legitimate opponents that you've played. And again, much like the Packers and the Saints, you couldn't win.
Okay. Well, let's go to Michael in Dallas. Michael, you're on DFW's Sports Station, home of your Dallas Cowboys, who will be playing the Vikings on Sunday night. Michael, what you got, man?
Well, I think it's a must win. And guys, this is why I am not a radio host, because I know last week, the Eagles' next four games, and I was like comparing them to our next four games, and I'm thinking with Minnesota, Detroit Lions, and the Patriots and the Bills, I could almost see three losses there. I could see it going bad just by how we've played some of the last games, not the last two, but like with the Jets, like everybody else has talked about. But when I compared it to the Eagles, and my God, what a brain fart! I can't remember. I could see them with two more wins out of their next four than us.
All right. I have to admit I'd be surprised by that. The Eagles' next four, they've got Pats, Seahawks, and then Dolphins and Giants. Fair enough on those last two, but I don't think they win either one of those other games. That Seahawks game will be interesting, but I'd say they go 2-2.
Let's go to Turbo, Vikings fan on the road. You're on DFW Sports Station, home of the Cowboys. Turbo, what's going on?
Hey, man, I'm just visiting your fair city to catch the game this weekend, and I found it ironic when I stumbled across you guys on the radio dial that I swear I think our two teams could not be more similar, because all the things I'm hearing you say are all the same things we Vikings fans are talking about. Right down to the situation, the scrutiny on the quarterbacks. Is this a must-win game for both of us? And I think, I know what you guys are saying, and I think I agree with it, even though we're technically, I guess, a half a game ahead in the record department. I always see the chance that the Cowboys and Vikings are going to be coming down potentially for a wild card game, and because of the tiebreaker this is, it is such a huge game. And we're hearing the same complaints from everybody. We haven't beat anybody that's worthwhile. We had certainly a couple of games we probably should have won last week against the Chiefs, the game against the Packers. Really interesting game. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm not overly optimistic about how my team's going to do. I think it's going to be an interesting game because we've got more questions, I guess, on our quarterbacks under more scrutiny than yours, because everybody thinks you can't win a big game. And this is certainly a big game in prime time. But I'm really looking forward. I think it's going to be an exciting and a competitive game. But I'm not going to be too cocky.
That's great, Turbo. I've had enough of a Vikings fan on my station.
Oh, man.
Sorry about that, man.
He just said he's not too cocky.
He kind of sounded like a Cowboys fan.
You know what? Here's the thing, too. He was like, I'm not too cocky about this. But then he throws out the power move of, hey, we're technically a half game in front of you guys. Like, I'm trying to be humble and everything, but I'm going to take shots at you very subtly. I don't like that, Turbo.
Aren't Minnesota people the nicest because they're so close to Canada?
And the lakes.
How nice do you think fish is? So, the Cowboys, he brought an interesting point, though. The Cowboys, if they were to win at 6-3, I know you would think they would take the division down, but that would also give them a good track at the wild card. So, I know that's not the goal,
yes,
but it would.
Let's go to LP in Mansfield. LP, you're on the 105.3 The Fan. What's going on, LP?
Hey, I think it is a
LP?
Hey, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. That was Brad Sham. Go ahead.
Hey, I think it's a must-win as far as if we win this game, you know, and the Eagles will drop their next two and give us a lead in our division. So as far as our division, I say it's a must-win.
All right.
Now, and I agree with that because, like, I think the Eagles could lose their next two games. They would be 5-6. The Cowboys, they win this game, you got to think they'll be favored against the Lions, who look like they're spinning. And then you'd be 7-3. I know that doesn't mean this it's over, but that would definitely give you some breathing room in the NFC East.
Let's go to John in Waco. Man, we got listeners all over. John, you're on DFW Sports Station, home of the Cowboys. What's up?
Call here. Hey, I just think it is a must-win game. We need to take control of that division, and we need to show people we can beat some decent teams, and especially with their quarterback not being a primetime quarterback, we can't let them beat us.
Man, I did not expect this many Cowboys fans to go away from what is the technical term of must-win game, but they feel like their team hasn't proven anything to them. Cowboys fans feel like their team has not proven that they are good enough to be in this kind of situation and not be must-win.
If we're being honest with each other, though, what have they proven this year?
That they're what their record says, that they're a 5-3 team. That's what their record says. Let's go to John in Dallas. You're on DFW Sports Station, home of the Cowboys. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, man? First time caller, man. I like these boys. I listen to you guys every day.
Yeah.
I just want to let you guys know my first time calling. I appreciate what you do every day.
Thank you.
First, man. All right, man. First, man, it's kind of in between me. I'm a Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame. It's the same thing with the last caller, man. It's a must-win game. It wouldn't really be a must-win game. Had it not, we would have lost against the Jets. I really think that hurt us a lot. as far as our reputation, as far as skill-wise, where we go on the roster. When we get a lot of scrutiny from the media and things like that, saying that we can't win big games. So, of course, what everybody means is, yes, we do need this game because we do want to show everybody we can win because of the talent that we have. And we are, you know, and it's kind of showing that, you know, that we're underachieving a little bit at the beginning of the season because we're a stacked team and we should be a good team. Even if we're not undefeated, still, I mean, one or two losses would have been all right. But losing to the Jets, I mean, you know, that's kind of like, okay, you know, we need to really beat a good team. And I really do think the Vikings is a good, decent team. They're not as great as advertised, but I do think they're a decent team.
Now, Kevin, somebody texted this in, and they said the Cowboys, it's a must-win game to restore confidence that they are contenders.
And I think that's a good point. They lead the division. They have the worst record of all the division leaders. You win this, you're up at 6-3. You're also not out of wild card consideration. You beat a quality team, and hopefully you start to create more space between you and the Eagles. Maybe that's why we get must-win. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, all kinds of Cowboys news happening in the world. The Cowboys' biggest defensive key to winning Sunday night, Tank. What did his mom say to him? And what's the best advice you've ever got from your mom? Plus, all the college football. We'll bring it all to you next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.